It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get to some interesting stuff. But before I cue that famous Fastest Five, let me give you some interesting information. Now, many people caught the new television show that aired on Monday the 20th, Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, which, of course, you're listening to the radio show version. And we have ratings. We have a household rating already, which is pretty cool. Our friends at WESH, which is where the show aired, was able to give us some statistics that I'll share with you just to make sure you're watching, just in case you didn't. We carried over 50% of the noon news, so 50% of the people already watching, they stayed. Glad to have them. And then this is really cool. We tied with the third hour of the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda, and then we also tied with Anderson Cooper.
Very nice.
How about that, huh?
Terrific.
So not a bad start for a premiere week. And so if you missed the show, well, tune in on Mondays at 12:30 on WESH to see what you're missing and what everybody else is getting. And I just found out Scott's got a year in now with Holland Financial. Congratulations, Scott.
Today's the day.
Today's the day. No balloons. I'm sorry.
Nothing.
No, nothing.
I got handed an itinerary for today's show.
That's a pretty good deal. But there'll be more to come. You got to put a little bit of time in, but then the magic starts happening. All right. Well, that's all that good stuff. Now, Lisa's ready with the button. Hit it, Lisa.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Gobs of news, right, Scott?
Well, I don't know about gobs, but it's not a deep pool, but it's wide.
Okay.
So there are a couple of interesting things out there from Tuesday's market. The Dow was up 16 points to close at 12,965. We'll talk about 13,000 in a minute. S&P was just about flat. NASDAQ down 3 points. Gold up $35 to $1,761.
What do you make of that?
I don't know. They've been doing treasury auctions all week, and they're going pretty well. So it's hard to say. It may just be some speculative buying. I'm not seeing enough volatility out there to make me think it's people coming out of the market. There's no real inflation. I mean, it's not worth
hedging. Inflation's not out of control yet, but I mean, it's percolating in that 3% range.
Yeah, we're still at very high levels on gold. It's $1,761 an ounce. It's not like it's cheap.
All right, that's something we'll have to pay attention to, and we'll definitely keep you apprised of what develops on gold.
Oil also up, $249, a 9-month high to close at $106.
I think that might be it. Maybe the oil is just that ticking up in the oil, some of the Mideast. You know, we've talked about in the past that gold isn't necessarily an inflation hedge, but it is definitely a crisis hedge. So maybe that uptick in gold is just a little bit of expectations that things might get a little dicey in the Middle East with oil going up.
It's also possible that if speculation is increasing that we're going to have another round of quantitative easing, which has been rumbling up a little bit, then there could be some buying pressure there from that.
And so that's caused by people thinking that dollars are worth less.
Right.
Because there's more of them.
Right. And every time they've done a QE, gold has just shot. So
okay.
They're maybe trying to get
it. So that's a little bit, like you said, maybe it's a little bit of a speculative play.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We did finally get the final word from Greece that they are going to get their 130 billion euro and they're going to avoid the big messy default in March, and then we'll just have to see what happens down the road. Again, they're not growing, and that's their only solution. Corporate news, good earnings from Home Depot, not so good earnings from Walmart, and neutral earnings from Kraft. A really interesting story on Wynn Casinos. Have you seen that story?
I have not. Go ahead.
Wynn Casinos has on their board a Japanese gentleman named Kazuo Okada. I hope I say that right. He and some of his subsidiaries owned about 20% of Wynn's shares. And they basically said to him on Sunday, you're fired from the board and we're buying your shares back from you at a significant discount. Hit the road.
Wow.
I mean, this is...
Public or private?
Public.
So how can they do that? They can't make him sell his shares, can they?
Yeah, it's well, he's fighting it, obviously. He's going to fight it pretty hard. But there's what they are alleging is that as they're in their push to try to get some casinos in overseas, maybe there was some bribery going
okay.
on, and then he was fighting back with them and saying, hey, how come I can't see all the books, because they weren't showing him all the books. So it's been going on for a long time.
So there's a lot more to the story than we've heard.
Yeah, but it's really a pretty shocking. His shares in the market were worth about $2.7 billion. From what I understand, they bought them at about a 20% discount.
So they've already done it.
Yeah.
Or they've already said, here's a check. We'll pick up the certificates. Or, you know what? We don't even have to have the certificates. Consider them redeemed.
Yeah, that's right. We'll just X them out.
You know, they don't have to get the certificates back.
Yeah. But the big news today, as you know, David, the Dow crossed 13,000.
Well, let's take a short, quick break, and we'll be right back to tell you what a Dow 13,000 means for you. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
All right, let's break it down for him. Lisa, what do you say?
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Okay, so Dow 13,000. The Dow crossed the magical, mystical, wonderful 13,000 points on Tuesday. So
yeah, midway through Tuesday morning.
All right, didn't close there, but that's okay. It flirted with it, spent a little time with it. So what does that mean for you, ladies and gentlemen? We'll get a little commentary here, and we'll think about it.
Well, it's interesting to compare Dow 13,000 right now to Dow 13,000 the last time it happened, which was 2008. The index itself is significantly different. In the previous Dow, there was AIG was in there. We know what happened to them. General Motors, we know what happened to them. Honeywell, Philip Morris, and Citigroup, all in the Dow at that time. Those are all gone, and they're replaced by Bank America, Chevron, Cisco, Kraft, and Travelers. So it's a much different index than it was.
So the potential for us to be talking about a Dow 14,000 is out there. We've got to have some good things happen, and we have to have some bad things not happen. But this 13,000 for the Dow feels pretty solid to you.
It feels pretty solid to me for the main reason that it feels solid to me. Now, there's a couple things. The main reason is that the last time the Dow was at 13,000, the price-to-earnings ratio on the S&P 500 was about 25.
So it was that 13,000 was the prices were bid up pretty high on the stocks based on what kind of earnings they had at the time.
Right, and the price-to-earnings ratio now is about 15. So it's a pretty significant difference.
40% less, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the difference of a premium, right? And
right.
If you're going to buy something, you want there to be less premium.
So there's a lot less expectation of accelerating earnings right now for how the stocks are being priced. Or previously, the last time around in 2008, there was a lot of expectation of acceleration of earnings.
Right, that's exactly right. Now, also, the economy is significantly different. Unemployment rate at that time was about 5.5, and now it's, significantly higher than that, but going in the right direction. So I think things bode well for that. You know, and we'll see what happens. These things don't happen in straight lines. The last time the Dow was working its way up to its high of 14,000 and change, it closed above 13,000 for 19 times total. And that's, you know, bouncing back and forth and bouncing back. So it'll cross and come back, cross, come back.
And it hit the 14,000 in October of 07.
Right. And the other big thing I think to be aware of as far as investors go, individual investors, is that the Dow, nobody really pays attention to the Dow except the news media because it's only 30 stocks. Real investors, professional investors, they don't pay any attention to the Dow. They pay attention to the S&P.
Because it's a much broader index.
Exactly. So there's a psychological benefit to the Dow crossing 13,000, but I think it's really to the retail investor, not the professional investor. The good news is that the retail investor really has not been involved in the rally that we've had since October. And if this is going to cause them to come back into the marketplace, then it could give us a little bit of an extra push.
Well, and you know what else, Scott? And I got a call from the News Journal, their business editor, about to ask me some questions about what we think about what the Dow 13 means. And what I shared with him, which we can talk about a little bit with our listeners here, is that a Dow 13 has a lot of, it may not mean as much so much from it being representative of the market. And, you know, the S&P 500 is 500 stocks. Well, those 30 companies are the mega caps. They're huge, right?
Yes.
And so the reality is they're not necessarily a benchmark, but they're an indication of what's going on. But it's almost like a mood indicator because what happens is when people see the Dow go from, say, 12 to 13, you know, people can't help but think, oh, things are getting better.
Right.
It's a milepost. It's a milestone.
And in the meantime, employment is getting better.
When people are more positive, what do? They spend money.
Right.
They go on that vacation. They say, well, you know, maybe we'll go ahead and do that expansion or that renovation, or I'm going to take that trip, or I'm going to put in premium gas for a change to give my engine a little perk. So there is that positivity that is a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy in that people become much more positive. So that is, so that's a large part of it is the psychological impact.
And retail investors hate to miss a rally. Now, unfortunately, they've already missed a big one, but they hate to miss a rally. So there's definitely a possibility that we'll start to see the reemergence of the retail investor, which could carry the rally, I mean, significantly longer because they have not participated at all.
Everybody hates to miss the party.
Everybody hates to miss the party. The other thing to keep in mind with the Dow is that it's a very, very imbalanced index. It's price-weighted. So if you look at something like IBM at 100 and change, if it moves, the Dow feels it. If Bank America moves at $8 a share, it doesn't have an impact.
This is a naive question. I should know the answer to this, but you know, and so I don't have to. What if IBM did a stock split? Would they adjust the Dow for that?
Yeah, they would adjust its impact on the Dow.
Oh, okay. So if it's split, then its impact would be cut in half?
It would become less important.
Isn't that interesting?
And that's why Apple is not in the Dow, because if you throw a $500 stock in there, it is the Dow.
It is the Dow.
Yeah.
Fascinating. All right. When we come back from this quick break, I want to talk about, I'm going to hold you a little longer, Scott, because what I want to talk about is the impact on how people do their financial planning for retirement of a 13,000 point Dow. Say that 10 times fast. Hold on. We'll be right back.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
So what does a 13,000-point Dow mean to your portfolio and how you are managing your money? That's the question. So here's the answer. Okay, a lot of people that I've worked with and people that have called us recently wanting to meet with us to help get help on their investments is people come out of the woodwork and people become more comfortable saying, you know what, what do I need to do now? You know, I've had people say, I want to do something, but I just can't live with the fact that I've got this big loss. And so one of the things that people are doing, and if you're thinking about this, about whether you should take another look at your portfolio an improving stock market doesn't necessarily mean let's pour on the risk, right, Scott? I mean,
it may actually mean it's time to sell some stuff.
Exactly.
Because you have to get your allocation back in line.
It's a great time. Perfect. It's a great time to take a look at your allocation. It may be that you're all out of whack and you just have been you've been uncomfortable to make changes. Well, now's a great time to say, okay, here's where I'm at. My portfolio took a big hit. It's come back up quite a bit. And let's talk about whether you've got the right things or not. You know, one of the things that I shared with the News Journal, Scott, was I said, look, if we see the market fall and it comes back up, there's a lot of people that got hurt that should never have been there in the first place. They were retired and they had a very aggressive portfolio and they never made the switches they should make to a more conservative portfolio once they're in retirement. Now they have an opportunity to fix that. And so that's a very important part of the Dow hitting this milestone. Sure, it could keep right on growing and going up, but it also could turn right around. We've got a lot of things out there that could mess up this rally. We have oil and the Middle East. We have taxes toward the end of the year could become a real issue because there could be $500 billion sucked out of the economy in 2013 for taxes.
Big election coming up.
Big election year. What else? All kinds of stuff that's still out there. So we're not out of the woods yet. Things are improving, but we're still got to be careful. So it's not the time to say, hey, the market's up. Let's just put our foot on the pedal and, you know, ram through all the blockades. No, we need to be careful and take stock of where we are. Now, one other thing I'm going to get Scott's opinion on before I let him get back to managing those portfolios is I was doing a quick review of some of the things going on with Greece, and down buried at the bottom of an article by the New York Times, I happened across this quote, which I thought was very interesting. And there was a Richard Beatty, probably mispronouncing it, but global investment strategist. And he said, this was very interesting. Italy is, because they're talking about the rest of Europe with Greece and all that. And he says, Italy is essentially in a sovereign debt trap. In order for Italy's debt to be sustainable, the country's economy either has to grow at 5% a year, or they've got to have only a 3.5% interest rate on their bonds. Well, more recently, you know, Italy's best GDP for 2002 through 2007, when Europe was booming, was 3.5, which is a lot less than the 5% they need as GDP growth. And their debt, even though it's come down, you know, we've been watching that the European yields, the 10-year yield on Italian debt is still 5.5. So it's not going to work.
Yeah, and I think Italy is probably, of all the so-called pigs, they're the ones that are doing the most correctly. I mean, they are putting in some growth components to their budgets. You could make the same case probably even more drastically for Spain and definitely for Portugal. And if we look at Greece, you know, this is a nice little short-term bailout, but for them to come back to prosperity or even moderate growth or even minor growth, they are so far away from
that. They've really got to grow a lot. To ask Italy to grow at, you know, what, 5% a year?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we're only just getting started on this journey. So this bailout payment that we've been talking about for so long is terrific, but we're really just getting started.
Well, here's what I don't get. Help me understand this. It says Italian debt right now is 120% of their GDP.
Yeah.
So what's their GDP? Four or five trillion, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I'll go back to my handy dandy world fact list from the CIA. But the point is, our debt is pretty much 100%.
Yeah.
We're at 100% ratio of debt to GDP, or both around 15 trillion, give or take.
Right.
Now we're going to blow through. We're already hearing rumblings that they're going to have to raise the debt limit before the end of the year, right?
Right, that's right.
So when we get to 120% of GDP, which is not that far away, what then? What then about us? Do we then fall into the same sort of challenge?
It's not inconceivable.
Okay. I mean, so this is all of this I see and say this is very much telling us the direction or what lies around the corner if we don't do something about this.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for agreeing with me, Scott Connor, and get back to managing those portfolios. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some other very interesting stuff. Stick around.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 on WESH Channel 2, starting February 20th.
Okay, we are back. And, you know, I went a little long on the other segments, and I kept Scott a little longer than I normally do. But Scott has got a great mind and insight into what we're talking about with the investment. Scott is our resident CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst, which is like a CPA of investments. And so that's his focus, and I am glad to have him helping us. And he had his one-year anniversary. Thank you again, Scott, for giving us the last year of your life, or sharing it with us. And my job, of course, is to be your translator for all of these financial topics. Now, the next subject, dare I say, I'm going to talk a little bit about illegal immigration. And
that's a load of bull.
Legal immigration is a rich part of America, but illegal immigration is very expensive for our country. And, you know, I tell you what prompted me to want to talk with you a little bit about it. Trust me, I'm not going to talk the rest of the show about it. I just want to talk about it for a few minutes. But what prompted me and got my attention was the USA Today had an article out, and I said, you're kidding, right? I mean, it's just so crazy where this is all gone. When did it become so politically entangled just to simply enforce the rules we've got? So what got me was all this fuss about Alabama and some of the other states trying to enforce the rules because the federal government can't or won't. And so it's really, really slanted heavily, basically saying, you know, this is all a bad thing. And, you know, we're wasting money by trying to do this and enforce the laws. And here's a beautiful quote. Listen to this. One of the few bright spots that the civil rights activists see in this controversy is that people in Alabama, U.S. citizens, legal residents, and illegal immigrants are learning about the bill-making process and the court review process that has followed. Well, I am so glad the illegal immigrants now understand our court process. The thing that they should understand is being put back where they came from, not staying here. That's what they need to understand, because they are costing us an incredible amount of money. Different estimates. I did a lot of research today on the internet already and found a lot of numbers, but all of them end with a B. Billions of dollars that we spend as a country, and it's just out of sight and insane that we do that. Now, I'll tell you the problem. The problem isn't that we aren't a caring country, because we are, and we try to help people. The problem also isn't that we are Americans are bigots, or that we don't like you. That's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of bull. I think this all comes down to a very simple issue, and I think a lot of people already know it. So if you know this, I'm going to tell you what you already know. It all comes down to votes. It all comes down to these political parties that we have being wimps. If I look up the definition in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, wimp is defined weak, cowardly, ineffectual person, a softy, a weakling. I've got a few more synonyms. Oh, wait, U.S. congressperson. There you go. That's also a wuss or a weakling or a wimp. They have no backbone. They all look at it as a political voting block. Oh, heaven forbid we actually enforce the rules, because if we do, then, oh, we won't get the Hispanic vote. Everyone should be insulted by that. The Hispanic population should be insulted by that. The numbers, again, as I said, all end in billions. And you know what's really interesting? This is fascinating. I got a copy I found on the internet, a memo from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division. Those are the folks that part of the rework of the immigration and naturalization, all that got reworked with our Homeland Security thing. And basically, this unit, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, those are the folks that are supposed to make sure that illegal immigration doesn't happen. They take care of border security. And if somebody's here illegally, they're supposed to make them not be here. Pretty simple. Well, I read this memorandum that was released. And, of course, we didn't hear about this in the press. But in June of 2011, this order came out basically as a directive from the director, John Morton, saying, and I'm holding his letter. And it's like a 7-page letter that said, here's what you need to know. And his letter says, this memorandum provides Immigration Customs Enforcement personnel with guidance on exercise of prosecutorial discretion to ensure that the agency's immigration enforcement resources are focused on the agency's enforcement priorities. How's that? That's a mouthful, isn't it? Basically, this memo will tell you how to enforce the immigration rules given the limited resources we have. Because he goes on to say that the ICE, again, that's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division, has limited resources to remove those illegally in the United States. So it's got to prioritize because it has limited resources. Well, I checked their resources, and their budget is about $6 billion with a B. Okay, pretty much everything with the government is going to be a B or a T, right? Very little is done with M's. It's all billions and trillions. So they have 20,000 employees and a $6 billion budget, but they say we have to prioritize. We can't arrest everybody and deport them or get them out of our country when they're here illegally. So you've got to make some choices is what they're saying to their people, their team, their 20,000 people. So sometimes, you know what, if they're here illegally, his memo goes on to say, Mr. Morton, who's the director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, says sometimes you can decide to detain or release people to their personal recognizance. You can let them voluntarily depart. Okay, I'll leave. And then do they really leave? And it goes on and on and on. And it basically is saying that if people are not an immediate threat, they're not holding an Uzi at you, immigration official, then, maybe it's not that big of a deal for them to stay. Well, here's what I propose, and this is how it all ties into the finances, because you're like, okay, David, why are you talking about immigration on a financial show? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it costs the United States government and the states billions of dollars. Some estimates are $50, $100, or more billion dollars a year, over $100 billion a year. Now, that's a lot of money. That's what it's going to cost us with the payroll tax cut that just was extended for 2012. That's a lot of money. Now, here's what I would propose. So to those wimps listening who won't do their job, here's a proposal. Very simple. If the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division, John Morton, the director, says very flatly, we don't have enough resources, then I suggest we give them the resources. A lot of stuff is done with billions in Washington. Let's increase their budget by tenfold. Let's take it from $6 billion up to $60 billion. They need 20,000 people. Maybe they need 200,000 employees to get the job done. Build a fence, enforce the rules, and there will be U.S. jobs created. American citizens should have those jobs. There's a lot of positive things that can happen. Not even talking about all the criminal element. I read some stuff that is just makes me sick about the number of crimes. Yes, crimes are committed by other folks that are U.S. citizens. We all know that. But why have more than we have to? And some of the crimes are just horrendous, drugs, abuse, all kinds of stuff. So there is a solution if we can just have a backbone and stop looking at every single thing being about votes. There's a reason why Congress has a 10% approval rating, Mr. and Mrs. Congresspersons. It's because you aren't doing your job. That's why you have a 10% approval rating. So instead of looking for votes from a potential voting bloc that you're going to allow them to become U.S. citizens and you want to get credit for that, being the illegal aliens, why don't you try doing your job and showing some leadership, and maybe your approval rating will get off of the floor and be right there with you when you do the job that America hired you to do. I said I was going to talk a couple minutes. That was a couple minutes. I'm going to come back and wrap the show up talking a little bit more about fixed income securities and about yield, how to get yield in today's low interest rate environment.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Well, Lisa trued me up here. She says I have a minute because I got passionate about those last couple subjects, but it's stuff we all need to know and not have the wool pulled over our eyes. Okay. We've been talking a little bit on the last couple shows about fixed income securities. They're being a bit of a mystery for people, but fixed income securities, bonds, commercial paper, preferred stocks, real estate investment trusts, and what everybody's after is yield. How do we make money on our money as much as we can? And we try to have something that's safer. And so yield is what you earn, which may be different than the interest that's actually paid on an investment. So I want you, as you look at that, to be careful. When you seek yield, the way to get more yield is to go either longer term, a 20-year bond instead of a 10-year bond, or to look at something that's lower quality, higher risk, you'll get more yield, but of course you're taking on more risk. That's this. There's only so many moving parts. So as you look at that, please understand that there are consequences for taking on a longer maturity, because if interest rates go up, you could get hurt badly by the rising interest rates. And those higher risk investments, even in the fixed income market, higher yield means higher risk. Be careful, because you can end up actually losing money. All right, we're out of time. Be sure to tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.